The Gemara told the story of where Rebbe Paskin that produce from Beis She'on does not need to have ma'aser given from it. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rav Shimon Pazi, asks, we see clearly from a pasuk that Beis She'on was conquered by the Yidden when they entered Eretz Yisrael, which means it's part of Eretz Yisrael. The Chayr is subject to ma'aser. And for the Gemara, he forgot what Rav Shimon ben Eliyakim said in the name of Rav Elazar ben Pedos, who said in the name of Rav Elazar ben Shammua, that there were many cities that were conquered by the Yidden in the times of Yeshua, but they were not later conquered by the Yidden in the times of Ezra, and were left without Kedusha as Eretz Yisrael. They held that the original Kedusha did not make the cities Kedusha for future times. Therefore, they left some cities unconquered without Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, so that the poor people have places to plant and produce food during Shemitah. Beis She'on was one of these cities. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi based his psak with the fact that he was told that Rabbi Meir ate a vegetable leaf from over there. But the Chari, a leaf is not a meal, it's a sack, which is permitted to be eaten before Maisa is taken. So how could he say that Maisa doesn't have to be given at all? And if the Gemara, Rabbi Zeira said, Rabbi Meir ate the vegetables that had been bundled. So there's a mission that says that once a produce is bundled, you're not allowed to even have a snack from it before Maaser is taken. For the acting where maybe Rabbi Meir didn't realize that Maaser wasn't taken, where it says we find that Hashem doesn't even let the animals of Tzadikim eat Aser foods. Certainly he would not let a Tzadik to inadvertently eat Aser foods. Maybe Rabbi Meir had given mice from this bundle from other produce that was somewhere else. Where it says no, because Chaverim are not suspected of designating Truma from produce that's not near the produce that's being taken from. Leiman Amukov. Maybe Rabbi Meir had designated some of the bundles as some of that same bundle as Truma and Maaser for the rest of the bundle. Where it says the great Rabbi Yeshua and Zeruz testified that Rabbi Meir ate without giving ma'aser. So certainly we can trust that that is what took place. What's the case of the animals of Tzadikim not eating usher foods that we have referred to a number of times? And was once traveling to try and free prisoners, and he came up to the Genai River. He ordered it to split so that he could cross. The river said, you're going to do the will of Hashem, and I'm also doing the will of Hashem. I have to continue to flow. It's the will of Hashem. And more than that, you may end up not being successful at what you're going to be pinion shuim. I am definitely going to be successful in carrying out the will of Hashem. So I'm not going to split. Rav Pinchas told him, if you don't split, I'll be geizer, your waters will dry up. So the river split. There was a man carrying wheat for matzahs for Pesach. Rav Pinchas ordered him the river to split for him as well, since he was doing a mitzvah. There was an Arab merchant traveling with him. Rav Pinchas ordered the river to split for him as well, so that it not be said that Eden don't care for their travel companions. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef said Rav Pinchas was actually greater than Moshe in the 600,000 years, because over here he had the river split three times. The Gemara asked, maybe it split only once, or he had it remain split until all three cross. So rather, Rabbi Yosef must have meant to say that Rav Pinchas was as great as Moshe in the 600,000 years. Anyway, back to the story. When Rav Pinchas reached an inn, they gave his donkey barley to eat, but the donkey wouldn't eat it. They sifted it and cleaned it. The donkey still wouldn't eat it. Rav Pinchas asked, is it possible that the barley did not have maaser taken from it? It was barley brought from an amoris, and therefore it was demai. They took maaser, and the donkey then ate. Rav Pinchas said, this poor animal is going to do the will of Hashem, and you're feeding it the tevel. For acting where Mishnah said that grain brought from an amoris that will be used for animal feed is potter from having mice taken from as demai. And from Rabbi Yochanan said on that Mishnah that's only true when the produce was purchased specifically to be used for animal feed. However, if it was purchased with intent for human consumption and was then decided to be given to an animal, there is an obligation to remove mice. Right? It says this as well. This was the status of the body that was given to the donkey of Pinchas. Mark continues with the story of Pinchas. When Rebbe heard that Pinchas was passing his city, he went out to greet him and he invited him to come eat by him. Pinchas said that he would. This made Rebbe extremely happy, as Pinchas was known to generally not eat by people. Pinchas explained, the reason I don't typically eat by people is because some people have food to give, but they don't really want to. Others don't have to give. They don't have food to give, even though they really want to. You have food to give, and you really want to. However, I'm now in a rush to accomplish this mitzvah, but I will eat with you when I return. When he returned, he happened to enter Rebbe's house through an entrance by which stood two white mules, which are considered to be very dangerous. Rav Pinchas said, should I eat in a house where the Malach HaMavos is present? And he therefore refused to eat and enter. He refused to enter and eat. Rebbe came out and said that he would sell the mules. Rav Pinchas said, that's also as if the evil is the mixture. Rebbe said, fine, I'll let them loose in the forest. Rav Pinchas said, that's going to allow them to do even more damage. Rebbe said, I'll cut off their hooves. Rav Pinchas said, that's also Tzah B'lechayim. Rebbe said, I'll kill them. Rav Pinchas said, that's also Baltashchis. Rebbe begged them to come and eat. A mountain grew up in between them, separated them. Rebbe cried and said, if Tzadikim are like this during their lives, how much more so they are after they pass into the next world. We find that tzaddikim are greater after their death from a drush of Rav Chaim Bar Hanina, who dashed in the pasuk that tells that due to an enemy advance, a mace was quickly put into a grave near Elisha. When the mace touched the bones of Elisha, the mace, who was a rasha, came back to life. We see that although during his lifetime he had to do a lot more than just touch a person in order to bring him back to life, after his death, Elisha simply touching a person was able to bring him back to life. Maybe the person came back to life only in fulfillment of Elisha's request that he received a double portion of the spirit of Elisha. Eliyahu. Since Eliyahu did Tchiyas HaMeisim once, it would seem that Elisha would have to do it twice in fulfillment of the request. And since we only find that Elisha did once Tchiyas HaMeisim, the Chari, this would be the second time. Abaya said, the Pasuk says that the Rasha immediately died again once he moved away from Elisha. If this was supposed to be a fulfillment of his request, the person would not have immediately died again. Where do we find Taka that Elisha did Tchiyas HaMeisim a second time? Rabbi Yochanan said he healed Naaman from Tsaras, and someone with Tsaras is considered to be, by a Pasuk, is considered to be a mace. Therefore, that's considered to be Tchiyas HaMeisim. Mar says, Vayit Rabbi Shimon Levi said, mules are called Yemim because they bring fear on all other beings. As Rabbi Hanina, who is a doctor, said, I have never been able to heal a wound caused by a white mule with white tips to their feet. Rabbi Hanina said, Einan Mavadi means that even with kishuv, one cannot harm someone who Hashem doesn't want to be harmed. There was a woman who practiced kishuv and therefore wanted to take dust from underneath the feet of Rabbi Hanina to use it to harm him with kishuv. He told her, you can't harm me. Pasuk says, Einoi Milvade. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan has said that kishuv is called kishuv because it can do things that in heaven they don't want to be done. And tomorrow, Rabbi Hanina had great zchusim and therefore could not be harmed by them. Mar says, Rabbi Hanina dashed in the Pasuk to teach that a person does not even stub his toe unless it has been decreed in heaven that this should happen. Rabbi Loza said, the blood from stubbing a toe brings power like the blood of a carbon oila. Rava said, this is when it's the big toe of the right foot, and when it comes from a second stubbing, and when it comes on his way to do a mitzvah. Gemara says, it's said about Pinchas ben Yair that he never ate bread that wasn't his own, and from the day that he was old enough to understand, he didn't even benefit from his father's food.